You're listening to the Royal Oak Missionary Church podcast with Pastor Bill Barnwell. Listen as Pastor Bill opens up the scriptures to Ephesians chapter 5 to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Father, we come here today, some of us joyful, some of us weary, some of us recovering, some of us are on the road today, but Lord, whatever it is, whatever situation we're in, we pray, Lord, that we would just know that it is well with our soul, that you are God that's in control. May, as we enter into this new sermon series, and we are now officially about to enter the summer and preparing for this fall, may your Holy Spirit just be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Royal Oak Missionary Church, soon to be known as Rock, how are we doing this morning? Oh, my, it is good to see you guys today. It's good to see you guys. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. We are entering into a new sermon series today that's going to be taking us for a number of weeks called Flesh Gives Birth to Flesh and Spirit Gives Birth to Spirit. That's actually a quote from the Gospel of John, and we're going to be preaching from that exact passage in the coming weeks. But today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, because for God to do what he wants with this church, for God to have the maximum impact that he wants with this church, do you think that it's going to come from our own strength? Do you think it's going to come from our own talents? Is it going to come from him? And like I was saying earlier, the announcement, in the next week or two, I'm going to have what I'm going to call Update Sunday. I'm going to update you on all the things that are in motion from now to September 24th. And then, like I said, once we get further into the year at our next annual meeting, I'm going to have a five-year plan set out. How many of you thought when that old guy got his law degree, he was going to be checking out of here? How many of you thought that? Y'all were wrong. Y'all were wrong, because I'm excited to see where this is going, and I am here, and I am in for the long haul. You better believe that, unless you guys kick me out. Unless you kick me out, that'd be bad. That'd be bad. But I'm excited to see what is going to happen, but I'm going to tell you what. The only way it's going to happen, that, and again, we got a good church. The church as it exists right now is good. It's not bad. But we want to see this church reach its God-given potential. Amen? And that's only going to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of prayer. And I can't emphasize this enough. So we're going to talk with the Apostle Paul today. And I was talking with somebody else. And one of the things that I really like about our church, are we still on? We keep losing it. Okay. That's okay. That's fine. One of the things that people love about our church, Sandy, maybe see if you can help her out, see if we can get us back on. One of the things that people love about our church is that we are a very loving church, that we're a greeting church. We all agree about that, that when people come here, that they feel welcome, correct? And Paul, I was joking with Diane Fisher earlier this morning, because I come in and I like to do this. When I greet people, I like to give them, and this is what I do, I like to give them the fist bump, you know? I think it's totally appropriate. You know what I mean? It's been known to be more hygienic, and it is a cool way of greeting people. So Paul, when Paul talked in his letters, he said greet one another with a holy kiss. And in the Middle East, and I have a Middle Eastern background, they still do that. You know, so you go to some family reunion with some distant fifth cousin, and they're like, oh, come here, and they kiss you, you know. So I'd say if the Bible was written in 2017, Paul would say, greet one another with a holy fist bump. I mean, that's just my theory. I can't prove that. I can't prove that. But Paul was somebody, you talk about, he was somebody who was zealous for the Lord as a Pharisee. He did not understand the Bible as we understand it, because he didn't have the New Testament at the time. But he was a zealous guy, and he was looking to stamp out the church. He was looking to get rid of the church, and he has an encounter with the risen Lord, and it changed his life. So we're going to begin talking about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and this is important to note. We always talk about God the Father, God the Son, and some of our non-charismatic churches, and I have nothing against our charismatic brothers and sisters in Christ, they give a lot of attention to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in our tradition, we don't give enough. The Holy Spirit is God. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Holy Spirit is God. Well, how does that work? Well, we serve. God has existed eternally, triunally, as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as I explained last week, it's not like God the Father came down as Jesus and put on the Jesus mask. And when Jesus was about to leave and said, I'm going to send you something even greater, he wasn't leaving and then came back and put on the Holy Spirit mask. That these, they're distinct, but they're one. And you say, well, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. And that's good, because that's God. God is bigger than our comprehension. But the Father, Son, and Spirit have coexisted eternally from ages past. But the Holy Spirit wasn't fully poured out until we are in the New Covenant Church age. We see glimpses of the Holy Spirit. We see glimpses of Jesus Christ, prophecies in the Old Testament. We see glimpses of the Spirit of God, but we see the Son of God manifest himself, be born in the flesh in the New Testament, and then we see the Holy Spirit poured out after the resurrection of Jesus, after he ascends to heaven, and we see the Holy Spirit fully poured out at Pentecost. So I want to distinguish, sometimes we get confused, what does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit versus being filled with the Holy Spirit? I want to go into this before we read our passage, because Paul, just because you see a word or a phrase used even by the same author, doesn't mean they're always using it the same way. And just because, say, Luke uses the phrase baptized with the Holy Spirit one way, doesn't mean that Paul is using it the same way in his letters. To make a long story short, if you just want to take, like, this is a preliminary note, when Paul talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, he's not talking about some ecstatic experience. He's talking about salvation. So what does it mean to be baptized into the Spirit? He's talking about what it means to be brought into the family of God. And keep in mind, in those days, often, it would be totally appropriate, even if somebody came up to me today and said, I have just received Christ today in this service. I have given my heart to Jesus Christ. Can you baptize me today? Now, it might inconvenience the trustees if I said, hey, can you go fill up the baptistry real quick? And I'm going to tell them it's going to be a little cold. But there would be nothing wrong with me baptizing somebody the same day that they got saved. That happened very frequently in the early church. So to be baptized into the Holy Spirit, when Paul uses that language at least, is talking about becoming a part of the family of God, identifying yourself with the family of God. Are we back on now? Okay, we're back on. People are watching. Excellent. Amen. All right, now when he talks about being filled with the Spirit, I'm going to read our passage right now. So read along with me, verses 15 through 18. This is Paul towards the end of chapter 5. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. All right, now a couple contextual things I want to point out right now. Paul, the whole point of this passage is not to talk about whether it's ever okay to drink wine or alcohol or whether it's always bad. In fact, recently, just at our most recent general or regional conference, our region kind of clarified our statement that said, we prefer that people abstain, but we're not going to make that binding on every local church. We're not going to make that binding on every single pastor. But obviously, we know that Jesus, one of his first miracles, was turning water into wine. And they were all having a good time at that party, right? That's why he brought out the best for last. Because in those days, this is how it worked. They would bring out the best stuff, and then when their palates were dulled enough, they'd bring out the weaker stuff, and nobody would notice. Nobody would care that much because they were having a really good time. Well, we're in a different context here, what Paul's talking about. Paul is talking about, he's not saying, is there ever an appropriate time to celebrate? Is it ever okay? No, he's contrasting, when we're talking about what is drunkenness, you know, back then they didn't have like blood alcohol contents that you could measure and draw blood or blow into something. It was a spirit. It was a lifestyle. Somebody who was a drunkard. And I will say this. though I don't take the strictest line as some might take on alcohol, I will say this, that if somebody genetically or environmentally struggles with alcoholism, they should never touch a drop of alcohol. And I think that's something that all of us would agree on. Correct? Amen? Right? And that's not picking on anybody. That's not to point fingers. It's just for somebody's own protection. It's just for somebody's own protection. But now, going back to the context, exact context, Paul is talking about, he's telling people, be careful how you live. He's saying the days are evil, and we know that there's evil around us. We just saw in the news, yet again yesterday, another foreign terrorist attack. How many of you saw that? I'm still not sure how many lives were lost. It's almost like we read about it on a daily basis. And we see a lot of good in our world, in our country, but we see a lot of evil. And he tells us not to live as people who are unwise, but people who are wise. What is something that the Holy Spirit helps give us? Discernment. The Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. In other words, people who want to rely on their own knowledge oftentimes are proverbially shooting themselves in the foot. And I know a lot of times we like to use statements that sound nice, sound warm and fuzzy, but are biblically incorrect. Say, if you've ever been... How many of you have ever been told this by somebody? You're facing a big decision and somebody says, oftentimes it might be a romantic decision or it could be about your future, and somebody says, my best advice is this to you, follow your heart. How many of you have heard that one before? Follow your heart. Well, there's a little problem with that too. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. In other words, our emotions, our feelings, our flesh can mislead us. We can mislead ourselves. Does God mislead? No. God might take us through a peak or a valley that might be very difficult, might be very confusing. But God does not mislead. So if we're talking about discernment, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now keep in mind, who has the Holy Spirit? Let's start with that premise. Who has the Holy Spirit? Anybody who is, quote, baptized. When I say baptized, I don't just mean like the literal, like baptism, water. Anybody who is part of the family of God. If you are a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells within you. The Bible says that our bodies are temples to the Spirit, temples to God. And it's not just referring to us individually, but collectively as the church. So who has the Spirit? Anybody who is a believer in Jesus Christ. This is the Trinity. This is the Godhead working in motion. Now, when Paul says, if you want to write this down, this is the first point if you want to write it down, that being filled with the Spirit is a constant, ongoing lifestyle. It is a constant, ongoing lifestyle. When Paul says, be filled with the Spirit in verse 16, or verse 18, I should say, when he says, be filled with the Spirit, it is written in the Greek as something that is to be taking place presently and indefinitely into the future. It's not something that is just, it happens one day. Now, some of you might have studied the doctrine of sanctification, and many of you have been around a while, might debate the doctrine of entire sanctification versus the doctrine of progressive sanctification. How many of you even know what I'm talking about when I use those terms? Okay, about a third of you, which is about what I understood. In our tradition, in our holiness tradition, there is the teaching that, you know, you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? And there might be this defining moment in your life. So you'll talk to somebody who says, well, I was saved in 1954, and I was sanctified in 1967, and that's when the Holy Spirit really grabbed a hold of me. And I'm not denying their experience. And this idea of entire sanctification, where we fully give our lives over to the Spirit. And then there's another point of view that, well, God, just as we grow in our faith, we progressively grow closer to the Spirit of God. I take what you might want to call more of a centrist view of sorts, because I do believe, I look at my own life, that there have been defining moments when God's Spirit really grabbed a hold of me. Really, and it was defining mile markers of my faith. But yet, even in that time, we don't ever stop growing either. In fact, if I talk to somebody that says, you know what, I was filled with the Spirit in 1974 and I've been all set ever since then, I think that's biblically problematic, because I think we're always growing in our faith. But I do believe that there are defining times. If I want to go to this view over here, there are defining times where God will really get a hold of our lives and get a hold of our hearts and collectively get a hold of our churches and get a hold of this church, which again goes back to the theme and the sermon series, that flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. If we want to see God truly get a hold of our church, there needs to be something supernatural that happens that is guided by the Holy Spirit. It needs to be a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit that we would look back and say, back in late 2017 or back in 2018, God didn't just get a hold of me. He got a hold of us as a church. And the idea of being filled with the Spirit is not just we get on some emotional high and then that's it. Because there can be that defining moment. But when Paul is talking about being filled with the Spirit, he's contrasting that with the lifestyle of a drunkard. Now, the lifestyle of a drunkard is somebody who is dependent upon alcohol. We're not talking about just like, you know, wedding parties like Jesus, the wedding at Cana. We're not talking about, you know, these debates, whether it's okay to have a glass of wine at dinner and blah, blah, blah. No, we're talking about something that defines your life. For some people, alcohol, substances, drugs, and just as an aside, the heroin epidemic is worse as ever right now. People whose lives are defined by putting in foreign substances that then take control of them. Which is why when Peter was when Peter was preaching and people were filled with the Spirit, and some of them were that manifested in speaking in other languages, people that didn't recognize those languages assumed that they were drunk. But they weren't drunk, they were filled with the Spirit. So Paul is contrasting, saying, don't live the life of a drunkard. Don't be controlled by a foreign substance. Be controlled by God. Be controlled by something supernatural. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The second point I want to make is that being filled with the Spirit is supernatural. We talked in our last sermon series, is supernatural is impossible? Yes, amen. Yes, of course it is. If we believe that God is living, active, real, and personal, that already right there is supernatural. But being filled with the Spirit is something that is supernatural. Now look, I don't have any problem with I love exercise. Exercise is great. I don't have any problem with meditation programs, as long as they're not rooted, and as long as a part of it, it's not like some spiritual practice that's giving great honor and glory to some Eastern whatever. I think there are ways, you know, I'm not opposed to human psychology. I'm trained in cognitive psychology. I'm trained in ways to counsel people. All those things are okay. But being filled with the Spirit is something beyond that. Anybody can meditate. Anybody can take deep breaths. Anybody can approach these different areas of human psychology, which can be very effective, and work out their problems and issues. And that can supplement, you know, what they're doing spiritually. Nothing wrong with that. But the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that does not come from human or natural means. If you are filled with the Spirit, that does not come from you. It does not come from your talents. It does not come from your own personality. It does not come from another person. It comes from God and God alone. So somebody can sit and chant and do all these different things. And the point I'm trying to make is this. Being Spirit-filled goes beyond just simple prayer even. And fasting and meditating. And those things can be fine. Those are spiritual disciplines. But being filled with the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit on a regular and daily basis, which is something, I'll be honest, folks, I don't always do a good job with that. I got a wife that'll give a hallelujah and an amen, right? She's going to invoke her right to silence. That's fine. I have those days where I'm not clinging to the Lord like I should, not dependent on Him like I should. And what we're talking about right now is a lifestyle change. You can be a Christian and have been a Christian for decades, but what we're talking about now is a lifestyle change where on the daily we are praying. Occasionally I'd say fasting. We'll talk more about that in the days to come. But asking for the filling and the guidance of God. Now you say, well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that you're sitting down praying and that all of a sudden, Lord, I ask to be filled with your Spirit. And then, the clouds open and the angels descend. And all of a sudden you begin floating and magical things start happening. And if that doesn't happen, then I must not be filled with the Spirit. It can be something as simple, quiet. The Spirit of God just speaking to you, giving you a sense of peace, giving you a sense of direction. And sometimes that direction, again, God doesn't always tell us exactly where, when, and how, but He just says, follow and trust. We can talk more about that, but we need to move on. Point number four, being filled with the Spirit demonstrates the fruits and gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to talk about, again, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, again, it's supernatural. It comes from God Himself, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is described as God in the Bible, not just some supernatural or impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is described as a person with personality, with characteristics, and is directly defined as God in the book of Acts and elsewhere. But anyway, to be filled with the Spirit, you will demonstrate fruit of the Spirit. Now, if I were to flip to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, what are the fruit of the Spirit? You don't have to flip there. I'll read it to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, that doesn't mean there's not a time for righteous anger. That doesn't mean there's not a time where we stand up and confront evil. But somebody who is filled with the Spirit will be somebody who is defined by those characteristics. And they will yield themselves. So somebody who says they are filled with the Spirit, but walks around kicking the cat around all day, has always got a chip on their shoulder. You know, they have no interest in spiritual things. They're worldly. They're not focused on God. They're focused on the things of the world. I'm not saying they're not saved, but I'm saying that there may be a spiritual immaturity issue. And as you grow in your faith, you grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, spiritual gifts, that's talked about elsewhere as well. There are some of you, I guarantee, that are sitting here that have no idea what your spiritual gifts are. And I'm hoping in the days and weeks, months to come, you find out what those are. Paul lists various spiritual gifts. I'm not of the viewpoint that certain gifts have just like vanished since 100 AD. But I am of the viewpoint of certain gifts, if they're going to be manifested, they need to be manifested biblically and not for show. More on that in another day. But if you have the Holy Spirit, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have spiritual gifts. Are you using and employing those spiritual gifts? Those spiritual gifts, again, are not just your human talents. In fact, the spiritual gifts that you might have might be something that you're not naturally talented at all. You might not be naturally talented at all, but it is God guiding you and leading you. So if you are filled with the Spirit, you're going to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, and the supernatural outworking of the Spirit will be felt through you. Now think about, as we are going into this transitionary time, as we are preparing our hearts as a church for the months and years to come, what would happen if we had not just 10 or 20% of the church giving all the money, 10 to 20% of the church doing all the praying, 10 to 20% of the church doing all the volunteering? What if all of our church collectively was praying and fasting and being filled with the Spirit and asking, God, manifest your Spirit through me? What would happen if everybody in our church, young and old, was exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? What would happen if we were putting our spiritual gifts to use? I'll tell you what would happen. The power of God would be felt like it was never felt before. I'm going to keep pressing this in your mind. Flesh will only give birth to flesh. Spirit will give birth to Spirit. We can have all of our grand ideas in the world. We can do all the building renovations we want to do and come up with cool ideas of how to reach people or programs, and that will be fine, but that will only go so far. Do you understand me, guys? You see where I'm going with this? Do you understand that if we want to see our potential reaching this community, reaching the hearts of people, that begins with God. It begins with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be using us. That it is something that falls within the sovereignty and the power of God, not in our flesh. Not with us. Cross this out. The flesh, our own human attributes, will only take us to a certain point. I don't care how gifted and talented you are. You could be a multimillionaire. Your talents can get you to be a multimillionaire, but they cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. They cannot produce the filling of the Spirit. They cannot produce the supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Last point I want to make, because we got communion, and I just want to say that we have our deacon offering that we do every other month. We're going to do something a little different. After we take communion, we're going to have one usher at that exit. We're going to have one deacon at that exit and one deacon at that exit. So if you want to give to the deacon offering, we'll pray for that at the end of communion. That will be a way we might experiment as a way to continue with our deacon offering. And the deacon offering, for those watching, we do every other month, and it goes to extra needs in our community. We help keep the lights on for people. We help keep food on the table and a number of other things. Last thing I want to say is this. To be filled with the Spirit, last point, is to be filled with joy. In the context of this passage and where Paul talks about the Spirit, look at verse 19. He says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So just a few verses earlier, he's saying the days are evil, time is short, make the most of every opportunity. But he's talking about this in the context of, don't live your life this way. Don't live your life in the flesh. Don't live your life as a drunkard. Live your life as somebody who's filled with the Spirit. And when you live with the Spirit, you will be filled with joy. Which is why I've given examples, and I gave this one maybe some years ago. It was my church in Flint. I was visiting somebody that was literally on her deathbed. It was literally just hours before her life was to be taken out. I've been suffering from cancer, and I sat down, I held her hand, I prayed with her. She was still barely alert at that time, and tears were welling up in her eyes, and they were not welling up for her. But they were welling up for somebody who was at home and who was sick, who she was concerned about. And she just was in pain. She was suffering, but said, I'm ready to go home. I've led a blessed life, and God is good. And she just said right now, I'm not comfortable. Physically, I'm not comfortable right now. But I have peace and joy in the Lord. And within a couple hours, she was gone. Remember, I've talked about this before. Joy doesn't always mean happiness, the way we conceive it. We can have joy through the suffering. We can have joy through the pain. Paul was somebody who was locked in chains at a certain point and was praising God, and those chains were lifted. Paul was somebody who was put to death under the Emperor Nero in the mid to late 60s in the first century and suffered a great deal. Paul was somebody, as we talked about, had a thorn in his flesh that he prayed that God would take out, whatever that was, whether it was physical, spiritual, emotional, and God did not take it out, but yet he lived his life with joy. I'm not going to say this, church. I think we have a pretty happy church, but there's a lot of cranky Christians out there, right? Anybody ever met a cranky Christian? Well, you know, the world's this happened and this happened, and president, Congress, and the kids and my grandkids, and the grass are getting longer. There's always something to complain about, right? But can we find joy? As Spirit-filled people, can we find joy? As we move forward with this church, we can sit, and if we wanted to, we could sit and talk about what's wrong with every single person here, including me. And we can sit and talk about every deficiency that one person, no, or we can sit and be people of love and people of joy and people who are excited about what God is going to do. But how is he going to do it? He is going to do it through his power and his glory. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. I cannot drive this home enough. Folks, today, you might have got that email prayer I sent out. How many of you got that email prayer I sent out? If you're not on our email prayer list, connect with me or Jennifer. We'll get you on that. We need to begin praying. We need to begin asking for God's leading, for his filling, for his spirit, and to live that way day after day. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're not going to have bad days. Doesn't mean you're not going to have rough patches. But you can still be filled with the Spirit and live a Spirit-filled life, even through those rough patches.
You've been listening to the Royal Oak Missionary Church podcast with Pastor Bill Barnwell. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, we'd love to see you. We're located on East 11 Mile, just off Main Street in downtown Royal Oak. Connect with us at royaloakmc.org. That is royaloakmc.org.